Today, I'm going to give a talk. The name of the talk is For Those Who Want to See the Buddha. Do you want to see the Buddha? Do you think it is possible to see the Buddha? Do you think? Is it possible to see the Buddha nowadays? Possible?
Yes.
Now, do you see the Buddha image behind me? Do you see the Buddha? Do you really see the Buddha? You see just the statue. You don't see the Buddha. I want all of you to see the Buddha even in this very life. It is possible to see the Buddha. We all need to understand what is the Buddha? Who is the Buddha? How can we see the Buddha? In times of the Buddha, there are many those who meet the Buddha, but who don't see the Buddha. There are many those who meet the Buddha and who see the Buddha too. Nowadays, Buddha is not present physically because he took final nibbana over 2,500 years ago. That's why physically Buddha is not present. So many those who don't meet the Buddha nowadays, there are many those who don't meet the Buddha, but who see the Buddha. There are many those who see the Buddha in this age too. So, who is the Buddha? What is the Buddha? How can we see the Buddha? So, before explaining the talk for those who want to see the Buddha, let me ask you one question. When was the Buddha born? Where was the Buddha born? Can you give me an answer?
April 8th.
Where was the Buddha born?
India.
Nepal. Really? If it is so, where was the Bodhisattva born? Okay, these two are not the same. Okay? The Bodhisattva was born in Nepal. Lumbini in Nepal. But the Buddha was born under the Bodhi tree. Right? These two are not the same. The Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, was born in Lumbini, Nepal. But the Buddha was born under the Bodhi tree on the full moon day. These two are not the same. So as a prince, Siddhartha, Bodhisattva, he lived his life as a Bodhisattva. At that time, he says he has physical body. The time the Buddha was born under the Bodhi tree, he had the same physical body. physical body doesn't represent the Buddha. The Dharma that he realized under the Bodhi tree on the full moon day represents the Buddha. Right? That's why physical body is not the Buddha. Those who just see the physical body of the Buddha are those who don't see the Buddha. That's why you all can see the Buddha. So, to make all of you understand how to see the Buddha, I want to introduce all of you about Venerable Wekali. Have you ever heard the Venerable? Have you ever heard a bhikkhu named Venerable Wekali? So you will know about, you will know him tonight. I will talk about his story tonight. So, Venerable Wekali to be stay in Savoti. He was a Brahmin. One day, he saw a Buddha on his arms round. He was very amazed by the noble appearance of the Buddha. At that time, the Venerable Wekali felt so much love and respect for the Buddha that he asked to be a member of Sangha so that he could be very close to the Buddha. The purpose of his higher ordination is just to be near the Buddha, because Buddha's radiant appearance is out of comparison, incomparable, unsurpassed. So he want to see the Buddha all the time. As a bhikkhu, even though he lived a life of bhikkhu, he didn't do a duty of a bhikkhu. Even he didn't practice meditation too. Just he wanted to be near the Buddha. He wanted to gaze at the perfect appearance of the Buddha. The Buddha is the one who knows all. At that time, Buddha didn't say anything to Venerable Wekali. Buddha waited for his knowledge to ripen. Say not a word. He said not a word because his knowledge was not yet ripened. One day, the Buddha perceived himself within himself and thought, now the knowledge of Venerable Wekali has ripened. So the Buddha admonished him. Venerable Wekali, what is the use of looking at this repulsive body? What is the use of looking at this repulsive body? Do you agree? This body is very repulsive? Do you agree? Is your body repulsive? No? Don't you know? So, This body is really very repulsive. So what is the use of looking at this repulsive body? Just by seeing this body, you don't see me. Even just by following, even you follow every of my step, you will not see me. So the time Buddha said to the Venerable Wekali, Yo dhamman pasati, so man pasati. So man pasati, yo man pasati, so dhamman pasati. So this is in Pali, okay? Yo dhamman pasati, so man pasati. The one who sees the Dhamma sees me. The one who sees me sees the Dhamma. In other words, the one who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. The one who sees the Buddha sees the Dhamma. The Dhamma represents the Buddha. Physical body doesn't represent the Buddha. If it is so, in times of the Buddha, those who see the Buddha, but those who don't see the Dhamma, they don't really see the Buddha. Even though they meet with the Buddha, they met with the Buddha, they don't see the Dhamma. They didn't see the Dhamma. That's why they didn't see the Buddha. So here, if you want to see the Buddha, you must see the Dhamma. Dhamma exists, even though the Buddha had taken final Nibbana over 2,500 years ago. So Dhamma here means Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya is body of the Dhamma. Okay? So, who sees the Dhamma means who sees the body of the Dhamma. Not physical body, but the body of the Dhamma. Whoever sees the Dhamma in times of the Buddha or nowadays, they see the Buddha. So who is the Buddha? Buddha is the one who had realized the Dhamma. What Dhamma? Four Noble Truths. Here, if you say exactly, the Dhamma here means Lokottara Dhamma. Ninefold Supramundane Dhamma. It is Four path knowledge, four fruition knowledge, and Nibbana. These are Nawa Lokottara Dhamma. Nawa means nine. Lokottara Dhamma means supramundane Dhamma. So, ninefold supramundane Dhamma is the body of the Dhamma. So if you see such Dhamma, you see the Buddha. How can the Bodhisattva become a Buddha? After knowing and seeing the Four Noble Truths, right? So the Four Noble Truths, realization of Four Noble Truths, make him a Buddha. So if you want to know, if you want to see the Buddha, it is possible. Those who are willing to see, those who practice the Dhamma deeply, those who practice the Dhamma diligently to know and to see deeply as they really are, even in this very life, you can know, you can see the Buddha. Do you want to see the Buddha? Yes. If it is so, what do you need to do? You need to engage practicing the Dharma. Now you all came to America, the land of opportunity, right? People call it, whether you agree with this or not, I don't know. You know well more than me. Is it really a land of opportunity? Maybe. Maybe. But land of opportunity for those who want to, who want gain and fame, not for the Dharma yet. Okay? So the great opportunity is to learn the Dharma, learning the Dharma. The great gain is attainment of higher knowledges in the Dharma. All the other gain and fame, they are not real. So, in this land of opportunity, so I want all of you take great opportunity to know and to see the Dharma. It is to know and to see the Buddha. So to know and to see the Dharma, what do we need to do? We need to practice meditation. So here, I want to share with the words of the Buddha. Samadhi bhikkhuvi bhavita samahito bhikkhuvi bhikkhu yatha buddha pajanati. Do you understand? Do you want to understand? Okay. Bhikkhus, develop concentration. The one who is concentrated knows and sees the Four Noble Truths as they really are. Who knows? Who sees the Four Noble Truths as they really are? Who knows? Are you listening to the Dharma? Yes? Who knows and sees the Dharma as they really are? The one who is concentrated knows and sees the Dharma, the Four Noble Truths, as they really are. If you want to see the Buddha, you must know the Four Noble Truths. If you want to know the Four Noble Truths, you need to develop concentration. So the Four Noble Truths is beyond your naked eyes. The Dharma is beyond your naked eyes. So I will give an example. Now, you're sitting on the chair, mostly, most of all. I believe on this floor also, you might have cleaned. Even though you think it is clean, if I say there are a lot of bacteria on the floor, do you agree with me? Why do you agree with me? Do you see them? Because you know that if you use microscope, you will see them clearly. Bacteria are very tiny, small ones. For that reason, we can't see with our naked eyes. So to see them, we need to use powerful microscope. So we can't deny that there are no small, tiny bacteria because of not seeing through your naked eyes. You can't deny. In the same way, the Dharma is beyond your naked eyes. You will never see with your naked eyes. You need not an instrument, but concentration, which is like powerful microscope. You need to develop that power insight. To know the truth, you can't depend on any external instrument. There is no way to see the truth using any external instrument. But you need to develop that inner power within. Only when you develop concentration, you will know, you will see that. So first of all, we all need to know and see the first noble truth. What is the first noble truth? Dukkha. Dukkha. The suffering. Or the noble truth of suffering. If it is so, what is the suffering? What is the dukkha? Birth?
Getting old.
Getting old.
Sick.
No. Death.
The loved one going away, and the one you hate most.
you apart, you depart from someone you love, and you dissociate with someone you hate. So this is also dukkha.
So the one you desire, you couldn't have.
Okay, so it is true, all these are dukkha. But this is for the understanding of people in general. But to know and to see the Dharma, you need to understand the final explanation, the last explanation of the Buddha. And then there the Buddha continued, Sankhetena. Panchu Parane Khanda Dukkha. Briefly to say, five clinging aggregates are called the dukkha. Okay? So, for those who want to know and see the Dharma, they must know, they must see five clinging aggregates. Five clinging aggregates are called the suffering. So, in other words, we can say, ultimate mentality and materiality, they are the dukkha. So what is the first noble truth, the suffering? It is ultimate mentality and materiality. So you need to know, you need to see that truth, which is the suffering. So ultimate mentality and materiality, they are the dukkha. How to know and how to see them? Who can know, who can see them? The one who is concentrated knows and sees them. Have you ever practiced anapana meditation? Mindfulness of breathing meditation? How long have you been practicing? One day? 10 days? Could you focus well on the object? I think not for a long time, just for a short time. So if you practice anapana meditation systematically by focusing on the breath, on the inhaling and exhaling, you can develop concentration. What is concentration? One pointed mind on one object is called concentrated mind. If you develop one pointed mind on one object continuously for a longer time, you develop concentration. Suppose if you focus on the breath, in-breath, out-breath, continuously, for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5 hours, you will develop concentration. And if you can do many more sitting, 1.5 hours, 2 hours continuously, concentration improved that. That concentrated mind produces very powerful bright light. So you don't see your whole body, you just see very bright light everywhere surrounding you. So that light is much, much powerful than microscope. So, to make all of you understand a little bit more, if concentration improves, the light appears mostly in front of you, somewhere in front of you, a little bit far distance from your nostril. At that time, you should maintain focusing on the breath as usual. If you can maintain focusing on the breath longer and longer, the light that appears somewhere in front of you, a little bit far distance from your nostril, it will come closer. Finally, the light will unify with the breath. So the breath and light will become one. So at the beginning, when they unified, they are unstable. The light is unstable. At that time, you should maintain focusing on the breath as usual. Finally, when the unification lasts for 30 minutes, the light becomes stable. At that time, you can switch awareness on the light from the breath. By maintaining focusing on the light, you can attain absorption concentration. Absorption concentration, have you ever heard? Absorption concentration is very, very powerful concentration. None of any microscope can compare with. Okay? Microscope can't help you to see the truth. But that light of concentration will shine you to see the truth. So after having developed concentration, to know ultimate materiality, you need to practice four elements meditation. Have you ever heard about four elements meditation? What are the four elements? Earth, water, fire, wind. So to know and to see the ultimate materiality, the Buddha taught four elements meditation. So when the Buddha taught four elements meditation in the celestial realm, Buddha taught detail. For earth element, there are six characteristics: hardness, roughness, heaviness, softness, lightness, smoothness. These are the characteristics of earth elements. This is what the Buddha taught when the Buddha expounded the Dharma in the celestial realm. For water element, there are two, flowing and cohesion. For fire element, heat and cold. For wind element, pushing and supporting. Altogether, how many altogether? 12. So you need to discern these 12 characteristics in your body systematically. So if you can discern well, your whole body will disappear. You just see the block of four elements. So the perception of beings disappear at that time. At that time you attain right view. You don't see men, you don't see women. You don't see your body. You just see just a block of four elements. At that time, if you continue discerning four elements in that block of four elements, concentration improves, it produces the light. At the beginning, it is gray, gradually become white, finally it becomes very bright. You don't see your body, you just see the block of bright light at that time. Your whole body becomes a block of bright light. So at the time, if you continue discerning four elements in that block of bright light, you will break it down into very tiny small particles. The Buddha said, there is no man, there is no woman. There is no mountain, there is no tree, there is no rivers, there is no seas, there is no living and non-living things. They are only small tiny particles. Now, do you agree with the Buddha? There is no man, there is no woman? Really? See, here, men. Here are many women, women. Why did the Buddha say that there is no man, there is no woman? Oh, Buddha is omniscient one, better we should believe him. Right? You have believe in the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, but with doubt. Right? There is doubt behind. If I say so, do you agree with me? Yes. All the ordinary people, they have doubt. Doubt, even though they have faith on the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, because they haven't attained direct knowledge. That's why they can't remove their doubt yet. So the Buddha said, there is no man, there is no woman. There is only just small tiny particles. So when you practice four elements systematically, finally you see that your whole body disappears. You just see very tiny small particles. Buddha instructed to discern not only internally but also externally, that after you have practiced internally, you pay attention to those who are sitting nearby. You pay attention four elements to those who are sitting nearby. Everybody disappears. You just see very tiny small particles which are arising and perishing rapidly all the time. And Buddha instructed to discern far. And then you must discern all the people, those who are living in San Francisco, in California, in New York, in the whole America. You just see everywhere just more tiny particles. If you pay attention four elements to this table, you just see small tiny particles. If you discern four elements to this flask, you just see four small tiny particles. If you discern four elements to this building, you just see small tiny particles. If you pay attention four elements to the mountain, trees, river, all the living things and non-living things, everything becomes the same. Very tiny small particles which are rising and perishing very, very rapidly. At that time, you see no man, you see no woman. You see no mountain, you see no trees, you see no buildings, you see no cars, you see no children, you see no daughter. You just see there are only small tiny particles. At that time, you will never argue with the Buddha. Do you know that all of you are arguing with the Buddha? Do you agree with me? This is not my words. The Buddha said, I didn't argue with the world. All the people living in the world, they are arguing with me. This is what the Buddha said. Do you understand? Why? Because of not knowing the truth. You stay arguing with the Buddha. Okay? There is man, there is no woman. Why did the Buddha say? There is no woman, there is no man. Do you argue with the Buddha? Yes. Yes. Don't deny me. You argue with the Buddha. Why? You didn't see the truth. So, have you ever heard the word atom? Scientists assume atom as a smallest matter at the 13th century. Only at the end of 19th century, in the beginning of 20th century, scientists could split atoms into proton, electron, and neutron. Proton, electron, and neutron are called subatomic particles. What the Buddha taught, small tiny particles, it is subatomic particles. Okay? How long ago could the scientists split atoms into proton, electron, and neutron, which are subatomic particles? At the end of 19th century, in the beginning of 20th century. But they could not analyze ultimate reality. They could not see the ultimate materiality. Buddha had penetrated these over 2,500 years ago. Scientists use they have done it in the laboratory using external instruments. Buddha didn't use any external instrument. He used his concentration. Okay? He used his light of concentration. That light of concentration is called light of wisdom. This is what we are teaching to both local and foreigners. I've been teaching these already over 14 years. Okay? Don't you want to see them? Do you believe in scientists? But scientists, they are trying their best, but they cannot reach to the extent the Buddha had taught. Now these very tiny small particles, what we call subatomic particles, can be seen, can be known, can be penetrated, can be realized through training your mind, through developing concentration. Meditation practice is training of the mind. Our mind is trainable, possible to train. If you don't train your mind is just ordinary. As I told all of you, it is trainable. If you train, it becomes extraordinary. It becomes very powerful. You can know, you can see beyond your naked eye. The truth is, what is unfamiliar to all the people in the world? It is not the things that are familiar to them, because they are blind. Do you agree with me? Buddha said, blind is this world. Andha buddho ayam loko. Blind is this world. You have eyes to see. Just conventional truth. But you don't see the ultimate truth. You are blind to the ultimate truth. Why? Because you don't train your trainable mind. You don't convert your ordinary mind to extraordinary. If you live just like this for the rest of your life, you will die like others, because you don't train your mind. Now, why are you interested in the teachings of the Buddha? Why do you love listening to the Dharma? Why do you love studying the Dharma? Nothing happens without causes, because you have accumulated good karma related to the teachings of the Buddha in your past. That's why you are very much interested in learning the teachings of the Buddha. I believe you have barami. But if you just stand still without moving, you understand? Stand still without moving, you will never reach to the extent you can, what you can. Okay? So you should train your mind. This is rare opportunity. Rare opportunity. So scientists, they are trying to do research, but they will never know the truth. Because they use external instrument, external instrument cannot shine them to see the truth. It is only the inner power that can shine you to see the truth after training your mind. So after you have developed concentration, your mind becomes powerful. You can go beyond your naked eyes. Buddha is the one who has the eyes beyond the naked eyes. He has wisdom eyes. It goes beyond naked eyes. So if the Buddha didn't arise in the world, even to know what is wholesome, what is unwholesome is a difficult thing. If the Buddha didn't arise in the world, we can't know that there are human's realm, there is human realm, there is animal's realm, there is celestial realm, there is a Brahma realm. And there is a cause of rebirth in those realms, is very difficult to understand. It is beyond us, beyond our naked eye. Because Buddha is the one who had trained his mind. Not just absorption concentration, he trained his mind to attain supernatural power. Do you know that you may be the one who can attain supernatural power too? Do you think impossible? Possible. Because you just enjoy living at home. Right? Not only you enjoy in Taiwan, you enjoy in America too. But you should seek the opportunity to enjoy the Dharma. So there is no real happiness in sensuality. All the people in the world, including all of you, are pursuing after the sensuality. You think there will be happiness there. There is no happiness. There is much dukkha. Do you agree with me? Are you seeking for the Dharma? Are you seeking for the sukha? Or are you seeking for the dukkha? Hey? Really? I think you are pursuing after dukkha. Right? Because there is no real happiness in sensuality. It is unreal. Finally, it makes you feel exhausted. Okay? That's why you should seek for the Dharma. Dharma will make you feel released from misery, from worry, from dukkha. Dharma never poisons anybody. Dharma guides us how to live. If we know how to live, we know how to die too. Do you know how to live? I don't think so. Do you think you know how to live? I don't think that you know well. Maybe you know a little bit, I think. Okay? So only when you live with the Dharma, practice the Dharma at the time, you will know how to live. Only when you know how to live, you will know how to die. So now what we are talking about, to know and to see the Four Noble Truths. First of all, to know the First Noble Truth. So when you see small tiny particles, which are subatomic particles, they are not yet ultimate materiality. When you see small tiny particles which are rising and perishing rapidly all the time, they are just smallest concepts. They are not yet ultimate materiality. In each particle, there are earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, smell, taste, odor, nutritive essence, life faculty, or sensitivity. At least there are 8, sometimes 9, sometimes 10. So you need to analyze such ultimate materiality in each particle. Only at that time you know, you see ultimate materiality. At that time, you become aware of what the Buddha is, who the Buddha is. Buddha is the one who had realized such Dharma. Buddha said, there is no man, there is no woman. There is no tree, there is no mountain. There is only such very tiny subatomic particles which are rising and perishing. At that time, you agree with the Buddha. You see that who is the Buddha to a certain extent at that time. Your seeing is not just seeing the statue at that time. Your seeing is seeing all the Dharma. That's why you start understand who is the Buddha, but not truly, to a certain extent. Don't you want to see such very tiny small particles? This is the way out. This is the way out. Only when you know, only when you see, you understand what life is. Seeing the truth means seeing everything as one. Okay? Now you see many here. So they wear different color. Their appearance are different. Because of seeing them, you feel different. Different things make you feel different feeling. Like, dislike. Love and hate. Because you don't see the truth. That's why make you encounter dukkha in your life. Make you feel like and dislike because of not seeing the truth. Make you feel love and hate because of not knowing the truth. When you know, when you see the truth, every living and non-living things, which is uncountable, they become one. Just which are arising and perishing in a form of subatomic particles. At that time, your vision becomes very clear. New vision has been developed. Don't you want to develop? I think you want. But if you just stay at home, you can't. Okay? You need to spend enough time to develop concentration. Do you want to spend enough time to develop concentration? So, for all of you to reflect what you have done in your life. Now you came to America to be able to speak English language. How many years did you spend? How many years? My sister? How many years?
I don't know. I try hard.
Try hard. Yes, yes. Not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years. But have you ever spent time to develop concentration for 1 year? Have you ever?
Yes.
Really? Continuously for 1 year? Never. How about you? Yes. What do you mean yes? Yes or no or never, right? Yes, I believe none of you. None of you. What do you value? You value just for this life, right? To live, how to make your living. For this, you make much effort. You spend a lot of time and effort. A lot of money. But you can't depend really on them. They will not make you feel happy. They will make you feel unhappy more. Dukkha is much more than sukha in life. Only sukha is a little bit. We are adjusting to experience sukha because we know that there are a lot of dukkha. Right? So, even though you spend the whole life, it will not lead you for your happiness. The Dharma Dharma. You don't need to spend any other things like you spend for sensuality and just for languages. You have spent more than 10 years to be able to speak English language, but you have never spent even just for 1 year, like you spend for primary school first class. Right? How many years do you attend for primary school?
6 years.
Have you spent 1 year for meditation practice? How can you know and see the Dharma? You want to know and see the Dharma, but you never spend like you spend just for first class in primary school. Right? So I make you understand. Today I enlighten all of you. Please feel shame for it. Okay? If you don't value, Dharma will not come to your heart. Okay? You will never know and see the Dharma, which can make you feel happy, which is for your real happiness. For the happiness in this very life, for the happiness in the future, even to make free from all the suffering, will be guided by your Dharma. So now I have told all of you, ultimate mentality and materiality, they are the suffering. Now I have explained all of you what is ultimate materiality and how to practice them. Now I will explain about mentality. Before explaining about mentality, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to give me an answer? Maybe you may be afraid to give me an answer, I think. Where does the mentality arise? This is my question. Where does the mentality arise? What did scientists say? Scientists said, mentality arises in the brain. There is a cerebrum and cerebellum. There the mentality arises. When you know, when you see ultimate materiality, at that time I will teach you how to know and see the ultimate mentality. At that time you will know, you will see that there is no trace of mentality in the brain. Okay? There is no trace of mentality in the brain. When you know, when you see practically, you will know that there is no trace of mentality in the brain. Okay? So now I will let all of you know practically. When you feel happy, do you feel in your brain or do you feel here? Please tell me the truth. Where do you feel? Here. When you feel sad, where do you feel, in your brain or in your heart? In your heart. When you feel proud of, where do you feel? Here or here? Here. When you feel jealousy, where do you feel? In your brain or in your heart? In your heart. When you feel stinginess, where do you feel? In your brain? No. Here. Yeah. Okay? Now are you happy listening the Dharma? Where do you feel? Here? Yeah? Yeah? Now wholesome states of mind arose in you. Okay? With associated with happiness. So wholesome mentality arises here. Reasoning mind, it arises here. Everything. When you know, when you see ultimate mentality through training your mind, after having developed concentration. As the Buddha said, the one who is concentrated knows and sees the Dharma as they really are. At that time, you will know you as it practically. Mentality doesn't arise in the brain. Even trace of mentality will not be seen there. You will stop arguing with the Buddha. Okay? At that time, you will see the Buddha. Who is the Buddha? Buddha is the one who sees such deep Dharma. Now I follow practicing, I see such Dharma. You see who is the Buddha at that time. Okay? You go beyond your naked eyes. Before you just see the image, the statue. At that time, when you see such deep Dharma, you stop understand who the Buddha is. Who the Buddha is. I tell you, one day this world will be destroyed by wind, sometime by wind, sometime by fire, sometime by water. One day we will experience. Even to that extent, scientists will not know mentality, where the mentality arises. Why? Mentality cannot be known using external instrument, because they always depend on external instrument. Mentality is so deep and profound. So I will share with all of you the profound knowledge of the Buddha. Now do you see me? Do you see me? Why do you see me? Why can you see me? If you are blind, you can't see me. Blind means you have no eye sensitivity. Okay? Now you have eye sensitivity. That's why my image impinges on your eye sensitivity. That's why seeing consciousness arises. To see a certain thing, four conditions need to be met. What are they? What are the four conditions? There must be eye sensitivity. There must be an object, visible object. There must be light. If it is dark, even though you have eye sensitivity, and even though they are visible objects, you can't see. So, now already three, sensitivity, eye sensitivity, objects, visible objects, light, and attention. When these four conditions are met, seeing consciousness arises. Why can you hear me? Because you have ear sensitivity. So there must be sound, there must be ear sensitivity, and there must be wind. Okay? And sorry, there must be space. If you block something inside tightly, can you hear? You can't. There must be space. Space is one cause. Another one is attention. Only when these four conditions are met, hearing consciousness arises. In the same way for smelling, tasting, touching. Here I want to share with profound knowledge of the Buddha. Buddha said, when visible object impinges on the eye sensitivity, it impinges on the mind or bhavanga here at the same time. One sense object impinges on two doors. One is eye door, another mind door. you agree with the Buddha? Now stay bother. I will talk about sound. Have you ever listened music? Those who increase the bass highly, ding, ding, what happened here? Ding, 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 right? Sound impinges on the ear sensitivity at the same time to the mind door. Mind door here or here? Yes. Sense object impinges on two doors at the same time. How profound it is. Only the Buddha can teach. Nobody will know about it if the Buddha didn't teach. It is what you can practically understand if you train your mind, if you have developed concentration. After having developed concentration, everything is possible for all of you. It is to know and to see the Dharma as they really are. You attend university in America, I think. Or some, you know. There is no any worldly education. There is no worldly university where you can learn this. There is no any university where they can teach you. What the university can teach you is what you can see, what you can hear with your naked eyes, not beyond this. Right? The Dharma is beyond this. That's what they can't teach you. You can't learn from them. Even so, hearing the teachings of the Buddha, appearing of the Buddha, how great opportunity it is. Why didn't you take such opportunity, even though you attend university, even though you make a lot of effort to learn this and that? Please beware. Don't miss this opportunity. Okay? This is great opportunity. It is the way to make free from suffering. It is a way to liberation. I will share with all of you a little bit more higher. Okay? To make all of you become higher. Okay? So when the object impinges, sound object impinges on the ear sensitivity at the same time to the mind of Bhavanga, mental process arises. Okay? Now you just hear my voice, right? But you don't see mental process. Why is it so? Because you have no concentration. Among this audience, if there is someone who had developed concentration deeply and who had realized ultimate materiality, which arises in the form of very tiny subatomic particles, who had analyzed ultimate reality exists in each particle, they have the ability to discern the mental process when they hear the sound. So they see mental processes which are arising and perishing rapidly all the time. Very, very rapid. It is quicker than the arising and perishing of ultimate materiality. So I taught my disciples, when they understand it, when they see them, when they see the mental process, when the sound impinges on the ear sensitivity and Bhavanga mind on, they reported me what they experience, mental process. So when sound impinges on the ear sensitivity at the same time, it impinges on the Bhavanga mind on, you see mental process, which are taking the sound as an object. They reported me, one day, we see like this, very, very quickly. I can't say in words. I can't make the way it arises so quick. So, this is one mind moment. In one process, there are many mind moments which are rising and perishing. Okay? As I told you, scientists will not see them until the wall has been destroyed. Okay? This is the only way to know just by developing concentration. If you don't know, if you don't see, you can't expect to make free from suffering. This is the only way to out. There is no any other way. Buddha said, Ekayana, the only way. No two ways. This is not the ability of ordinary worldly people. This is of the omniscient Buddha, Sammasambuddha Buddha. We are very fortunate that we hear the Dhamma. But I want all of you to be more fortunate than now. Okay? I want all of you to see the Dhamma. It is to see the Buddha. So whenever you see visible objects, at that time, mental process will arise. Whenever you hear the sound, mental process will arise. Whenever you feel the smell, mental process will arise. So new vision has been developed. You are partially blind at the time, not completely blind like before. Understand? Now you are blind. Okay? You have eyes to see, but only conventional truth. You are blind to see ultimate truth. If you are blind to see the ultimate truth, you will never see the Buddha. If you don't see the Buddha, the way to liberation cannot occur. Okay? That's why this is knowing and seeing the first noble truth. Ultimate mentality and materiality after having developed concentration. As the Buddha said, the one who is concentrated knows and sees the Dhamma as he really is. So now, let me ask you another question. Are you afraid to give me an answer? So, as a human, just for human, when did the suffering start? Difficult question. When did the suffering start?
In the mommy's tummy.
Hey, very near. A little bit go backwards. The time we take conception in the mother womb, the beginning stage, we took conception in the mother womb. At that time, ultimate mentality and maturity started. This is the beginning stage of the suffering in this very life. Suffering starts or started when we take conception in the mother womb, the beginning stage. If it is so, the second noble truth, the origin of suffering, where will it be? Where will it be? If the suffering started in the mother womb, in this very life, at the beginning stage we took conception in the mother womb, where would this origin of suffering be? In this very life or in the past? Which comes first, cause and effect? I'm giving a hint. Past life, right? So to understand the origin of suffering, all of you need to descend to your past. At the near-death moment of all of us, in the previous life, a certain karma, a certain object appears. Taking that as an object, we got the opportunity to be reborn as human. We got the opportunity to take conception in our mother womb. What was that karma? Wholesome karma for human rebirth. This is true for all in general. But the difference is, our karma will not be the same. Our sister will be one, our brother will be another. Rebirth of the man, rebirth of a woman, these are different. The cause is different. So what is the central teachings of the Buddha? So before giving this answer, giving me an answer for this question, I will ask you another question first. Who are the Buddhists? Who are Buddhists? Or who is a Buddhist? Are you a Buddhist? Really? Even so, what does a Buddhist believe in? What is the central teachings of the Buddha? Karma. The core teaching of the Buddha, the central teachings of the Buddha, is law of karma. Buddhists are those who believe in law of karma. Right? Other religious people, other people, those who believe in other religion, they have no belief in law of karma. Buddhists are those who believe in law of karma. The central teachings of the Buddha is law of karma. Understanding karma and its result. There is no creator like God in Buddhism. But there is creator in Buddhism. It is our actions. Your actions, my actions, is our creator. Who is responsible for our happiness and our unhappiness? We ourselves. Okay? Our good intention, our action rooted in good intention, make us happy. Our bad action caused by bad intention make us unhappy. Nobody is responsible. We are responsible for our happiness, our unhappiness, our progress, and our... What is the opposite of progress? I'm learning English from you.
Regression.
Okay. So we are responsible for all these. Nobody is responsible. God doesn't make you feel unhappy. God doesn't make you feel happy. God doesn't make you improve. You are the one responsible for all these. This is very common. This is common knowledge. Okay? So Buddha taught this. Buddha taught not by imagination. Where was the Buddha born? Under the Bodhi tree. After practicing meditation. Under the Bodhi tree, he practiced Anapana. He attained up to fourth jhana. And then he practiced based on 10 kasina. Have you ever heard about 10 kasina? Have you? Should I share with all of you?
Yes.
Okay, good. So there are 10 kasina. There are 4 kala kasina. Black kasina, black kala kasina, yellow kala kasina, red kala kasina, white color casino, four color casino, and up casino, water casino, fire casino, wind casino, light casino, space casino, all together 10. So based on it, Buddha practiced 8 attainments. Do you know 8 attainments? Have you ever heard about it? So if you practice white casino, you attain material jhana. Okay, rupa jhana, absorption, concentration. Based on these four rupa jhana, material jhana, you can practice four immaterial jhana. Four material, four immaterial, they are called 8 attainments. Based on these 8 attainments, Buddha practiced supernatural power. In the first watch of the night, Buddha attained the first supernatural power, which is Bodhinivasa Abhijnana, with which he could recollect many of his uncountable past lives. He knows his name, he knows his clan, he knows his family members, he knows where he stayed, he knows which country it is, he knows his ups and downs of life, he knows the age he died. And then he taught us there is past existence, not by imagination. Not just he had penetrated. He taught us how to practice our past existence. There are two ways to practice. One is with supernatural power, another is with insight knowledges. We teach meditators mostly with insight knowledges. With supernatural power, you can know very detailed. But with insight knowledge, you know a certain karma that caused you rebirth as a human in this very life. Don't you want to know? Do you want to be blind more? Okay, you are blind. Okay, Buddha appear to make you not to be blind. I come and share with all of you to stop that state of life. Okay? So you are able to, you are capable to see your past karma, your past existences, if you develop concentration. But if you don't develop concentration, impossible. Before you come to America, suppose if you are the one who is going to attend school and university here, your English has been tested, right? If you didn't pass, you are not allowed. In the same way, if you didn't develop concentration, I will not allow you to know and to see. Not that I didn't allow, but that you didn't allow yourself, right? Because you didn't develop concentration, then it is out of for you, out of seeing. That's why that concentration is necessary. Because the Dharma is deep and profound beyond our naked eye. So we teach meditators at least 5 past existences to understand karma and its result. Now you are born as human. Now you may be intelligent being. You may be wise and clever. You may be smart. But you will see your ups and downs of life in your past. Unfortunately, there would be existence in the animal realms you were born. There may be an existence in which you are very superior in material development. So when you see one of your past life in the animal realm, you need to find out what is the causes of rebirth in the animal realm. You came to know that this is bad karma that appeared at the near-death moment. So Buddha said, bad begets bad, good begets good. Okay? Buddha knew them with direct knowledge through training his mind. And he guide us how to train our mind to know and to see them too. So when you know such profound Dharma, which is cause and effect, that appear at the near-death moment of your past life, at least of 5 past existences, you become clear to the workings of karma, how the karma are working, and the karma is working. karma create your life. No one creates you. The time you are not blind to law of karma. You are not blind to karma and its result. You have eyes to see them. Wisdom eyes caused by developing concentration. At the time you know the second noble truth. Right? The second noble truth, the origin of suffering. So you know two noble truths. First noble truth, the suffering. The second noble truth, the origin of suffering. I believe all of you are interested in practicing vipassana, right? Let me ask you one question. Ready? What is the object of vipassana? Please. Ultimate reality. What are they? If you say exactly.
Materiality.
And? Yes. Yes. And now you have given me an answer half. Please, have another half. He has given me half. Help me. So I will add for another. The first noble truth, ultimate mentality and materiality, and the second noble truth, causes and their effects are the objects of vipassana. This is what you all need to know exactly. Keep in mind. If you want to practice vipassana, first of all, you must be the one who had penetrated the first noble truth, ultimate mentality and materiality, and the second noble truth, causes and their effects. Okay? Without knowing, without seeing the first and second noble truth, you can't practice real vipassana. I use real vipassana. Without knowing the first noble truth, the second noble truth, you can't. So only after you have realized the first and the second noble truth, you are ready to start insight meditation. If you want to know more detail, I introduce all of you to read my book, Expectation Derives from One's Own Point of View. There is Chinese version. There is English version too, but it is not available after I have arrived. Many people they have taken away. Okay, I have intention to offer all of you here, but no more books. Okay? Only it is available in soft copy. Okay? So, but maybe Chinese version will be much better for Taiwan people, right? Okay, yes. So please read. At the time, you will understand. Understand. That book will be very interesting for all of you. Expectation derived from one's own point of view. Another book they are now translating. I think nearly finished. A Journey of Self-Discovery. Okay? It will make you understand how to live your life more. Okay? So please read them. So now we are going to continue to practice vipassana. So now suppose you know you see the first and second noble truth. You are ready to practice meditation. Now you know and you see what the Buddha had realized. And you know you see what the Buddha taught. That's why you started understand who the Buddha is, what the Buddha is. You started seeing the Buddha, not fully yet. Okay? And then you practice vipassana, where you know you see the first and second noble truth. The first noble truth, ultimate mentality, materiality, they are arising and perishing rapidly all the time. Causes and effects, what are they? Causes It is also ultimate mentality, materiality. Effect, also ultimate mentality and materiality. We can't say the object of vipassana is just ultimate mentality and materiality. The first noble truth, it is true. For the second noble truth is ultimate mentality and materiality of causes and effects, not just of ordinary ultimate mentality and materiality. In this way, you need to understand. So from the ultimate point of view, all of them are rising and perishing rapidly all the time. So first of all, you need to contemplate impermanence, suffering, non-self, seeing the arising and perishing of ultimate materiality, both internally, externally, past, present, future. And when you satisfy doing so, you need to continue on ultimate mentality, contemplate impermanence, suffering, and non-self, seeing the arising and perishing of ultimate mentality, both internally, externally, wholesome, unwholesome, past, present, and future. And then on nama and rupa, both on ultimate mentality and materiality. And then on each aggregate, material aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, volition formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. On each aggregate. After that, five aggregates together. In this way, you need to continue. So I will make short, okay? Because if I make long, you may not understand now. I'm afraid, okay? I will wait until you practice under my guidance. At that time, I will guide all of you how to do them practically. And then you practice one step after another. There are many steps left behind, okay? And you finally, you pay attention just on the perishing. You ignore the arising. Okay? It is dissolution stage, emphasizing on the perishing. Not that there is no arising, but that you emphasize on the perishing. Because of emphasizing on the perishing, you contemplate impermanent, suffering, non-self, seeing the perishing of ultimate mentality, materiality, both ultimate mentality and materiality, causes and their effects on each khanda, five khanda together, past, present, future, wholesome, unwholesome. Inside knowledge mature. So, when the inside knowledge mature, you attain to the knowledge equanimity towards the formation. So because of seeing the perishing rapidly all the time, wherever you look at, whether past, whether present, whether future, whether living things, whether non-living things, everything, so they are perishing. You feel fear of seeing them. You feel frightened. You want to find a way to get out of it. At that time, you want to make free from where there is arising and perishing. At that time, you try diligently, you try in every four postures, reducing sleeping time. You, instead of fear, instead of feeling frightened, at that time, equanimity towards formation has been developed. So you can face them very bravely. Before you fear, you want to withdraw. But now you are very powerful. You can develop equanimity towards those perishing dharma. So your mind becomes very sharp and powerful. If you continue at that time, path and fruition knowledge will arise, taking Nibbana as an object. Nibbana, there is no arising and perishing. There, perishing and arising and perishing ceases completely. There is only real happiness. So when you attain path and fruition knowledge, you see the Buddha. Buddha is the one who can enter fruition knowledge anytime he wants. You are the one who can enter fruition knowledge anytime you want. under the tree, or under the body tree also okay. Okay, under the tree, in the heart, in the car, in the airplane, in a ship, in a cave, in a house, in the meditation hall, out of meditation hall, wherever you want, after sitting down, cross-legged, developing concentration, if you practice vipassana, and if you incline to enter the fruition knowledge, you can enjoy nibbana bliss. Taking nibbana as an object, you enter fruition knowledge. You know well who the Buddha is. You see well who the Buddha is. Okay? This is the way to see the Buddha. May all be able to know and see the Dharma in this very life. What time is it now? Oh. Do you want to have any Q&A session? Already nearly 9? Do you want? If you want, I'm happy. Okay? Yes. Okay? What is the question? Very clear, then no question. Do you feel shame to ask questions?
Mostly afraid.
Don't be afraid, this is opportunity. Okay? So tonight I'm going to leave here.
I have a question. So you said that I draw classes arising at the same time as the mind draw consciousness. But in Abhidhamma they say they are conceptive.
No, I didn't say like this. I told you the object impinged to the two dots at the same time. I didn't say that I consciousness and my consciousness arises together. I say the object impinges on two dots. When the sound impinges to the ear sensitivity, at the same time it impinges on the mind door, bhavanga. Yes, mental process arises with many mind movements. Every mind movement, they have different base. That's why ear consciousness arises based on ear base. But all the other mind movement arises based on mind base. That's why they are not the same. What I mean is, object impinges on the sensitivity and the mind door at the same time. Yes, yes.
What's the best way to practice concentration in our daily life? Thank you.
You want to develop concentration in your daily life? So, have you ever practiced meditation? Mindfulness of breathing meditation? What meditation object you have practiced?
Breath.
Focusing on the inhaling and exhaling,
yes.
In breath and out breath.
Yes.
When you practice, could you maintain focusing for a long time?
Yeah, kind of.
Could you focus longer time, continuously?
Yes.
How many?
Sometimes if I get very focused,
on my I can hear the outside sound.
Very good. You should engage practicing.
Continue.
You should engage practicing under the guidance of a teacher. You should join meditation center. Okay? So in your daily life, you should not expect much. Okay? But I suggest all of you to focus on the inhaling and exhaling as much as you can without expecting much. It is a way for you, a way to develop concentration to the certain extent, but you can't develop deeply just by focusing in your daily life. But it is good that you are mindful so you can accumulate wholesome karma more. Okay? So, in your daily life, you can't focus on the object all the time because you have many other things to do. That's why do try focusing on the breath as much as you can in your daily life without expecting any results. Expecting the results works in worldly things. Okay? When we make money, when we make our living, expectation works. Desire works. Because we make our living with desire, with expectation. But in meditation, we need no desire. Desire make your mind not calm. We need calm mind. The mind that expect have no calmness. The mind that desire has no calmness. The mind that is pure, the mind that is colorless, it is calm and pure. Okay, that's why we need no any expectation. Just train your mind to focus on the breath. Okay? But if you want to live peacefully for the rest of your life, for all of you, I suggest all of you to read and follow practice what I have explained in my talk, A Journey of Self-Discovery. It is a way how to train your mind, how to be skillful in the habits of your mind, to make you understand how to live peacefully for the rest of your life. It is what I have explained in practical way, what you all need to follow practice. Okay? So this is what I introduce all of you.
Thank you.
Okay. She first. Oh. Okay.
There are 5 years before Bonte was ordained as a Buddhist monk. And I was curious about, personally, what makes you to make a decision to give up the mundane world?
You are interested in it?
Yes.
Oh. Because of sense of urgency. Sense of urgency is the driving force to give up bodily life. The bodhisattva renounced the world, or left the palace, because of sense of urgency. The great disciple, chief disciple, Venerable Sariputra Thubi, Venerable Mahamoggallana Thubi, they left home, they renounced the world because of sense of urgency. Because of seeing the fault and the danger of sensuality inherent behind. So people see happiness in the sensuality. That's why they are pursuing after sensuality, because they want to experience happiness of the sensuality. They don't see the fault and danger inherent behind them. We don't see before them. I'm pursuing after sensuality for gain and fame, because I see the happiness in the sensuality. But later I come to know, I feel fault. I see fault, the fault and the danger inherent behind the sensuality. So I'm unhappy to continue my life pursuing after sensuality. I see the fault and danger of doing all the things, because mostly we are accumulating unwholesome. We are pursuing after sensuality with desire, with expectation. They are rooted in greed. If we get it, we are happy. Unhappy, happy, unwholesome happiness. When we get what we want, we are happy. It is not wholesome happiness, unwholesome happiness. We are happy with greed, right? So if we don't get what we want, we are feeling sad. We feel unhappy. Sometimes we feel hatred. We feel angry. This is unwholesome. Okay? So there is a goal and the way reaching to the goal. We all want to be something. We all want to be someone. This is our goal. To reach to their goal, we need to make much effort. Along the way, we are marching towards our goal. What did we do? What have we done? Wholesome or unwholesome? You see? Almost unwholesome. But we never think about the way to reach, the way how we are doing to reach to our goal. We just think about how to reach there, how to enjoy it. Suppose you have reached to their goal, to your goal. The time you experience that happiness, that success, it's just fleeting. Okay? But the time you spend to reach there, it is so long. You have accumulated, you have done many bad things too, many unwholesome too. So if they give their results, consider one life after another, they can get their results. So the Bodhisattva saw the fault and the danger. The chief disciple, Dubit, saw the fault and the danger. And many wise in times of Buddha, they saw the fault and the danger of sensuality and hiding behind. Finally, they renounced the vow. So if you want to know a little bit more about why I have renounced the vow, there is my first book. It is Awaken, O World. It is available in Chinese version too. So there is one Dharma talk there. They have made all together 5 Dharma talk there, I think. So one is recollection of death. So there you will see why I have renounced the world. Okay? Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I try to address the question. Yes. But hopefully I can. You mentioned, you know, when you meditation to this, or concentration to a certain extent, you can see everything, just the particle rapidly arising and perish. Yeah. You don't see table, you don't see people, you don't see me, you don't see man, woman, everything. Everything just particle arising, perish rapidly.
Yes.
And the moment you mention, then the moment you see Buddha. You see that, right? So actually at the moment you still see Buddha still just the particle arising, perish rapidly. But actually what you see is the Dhamma.
Yes. Dhamma represents the Buddha.
So there's never real Buddha exists.
Buddha is
a form, there's no form, so there's a form.
Yes. Even the body of the Buddha doesn't really exist. Okay? Buddha is not the physical body. Dhamma represents the Buddha. And so when you see the Buddha, you start knowing who the Buddha is, what the Buddha is. So you go beyond the image. In our Myanmar language, there is a saying, image cover the Buddha. Okay? Image covers the Buddha. because all the Buddhists, they can't see yet the Dharma. That's why, as a symbol of the Buddha, they need to pay respect to the Buddha. This is a good sign. Buddha even allow this to pay respect the Buddha image, because for those who didn't see the Dharma, it is very good.
And they also mention Shakyamuni is the fifth Buddha, right? There's a four before that.
Shakyamuni is the fourth one.
The fourth one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. So that means just like the Shakyamuni, just the way to connect people to realize the Buddha. Because there's no such a real thing Buddha exists.
Now, you didn't get what I meant.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the body of the Buddha. I'm talking about the body of the Dharma.
The body of the Dharma.
Dharma represents the Buddha. The body doesn't represent the Buddha. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about the body of the Buddha.
No.
Okay?
So when we worship to the Buddha, we worship to the very abstract.
Anyway, because Buddha's appearance is very perfect, that's why we have faith on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. That's why when we see the Buddha image, wholesome states of mind arise. This is the essence. But you should go beyond. If you reflect the qualities of the Buddha, your paying respect to the Buddha becomes superior. Now you just be with the image. Okay? You should go beyond reflecting the qualities of the Buddha. There are 9 qualities. Buddha is the one who had removed all the defilements. Buddha is the one who never do any bad things, even in the hidden place. So this is the qualities of the Buddha. At the time, you understand more who the Buddha is intellectually according to your knowledge. Okay?
My question is after her.
Yes.
My question is, when I see the statue of Buddha, I think it's a statue of Buddha. People would inspire them to pay respect. It's very difficult for me to do such things because, it's just...
Yes, just because you think about the statue, you didn't think about the qualities of the Buddha. That's why you can't pay respect. That's why you need to study more. Okay? I told all of you, please read the expectation derived from the Buddha. You will feel who the Buddha is. You want to pay respect the Buddha more. Okay? Now you are just thinking about the image. You should go beyond.
If I go beyond, but why should I devote it to a statue? Can I just...
No, not to the statue. Okay? So I pay respect wherever I am. Even there is no Buddha image.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I pay respect to the Buddha.
Right.
Okay?
I can do that.
Yes, good.
But I see the physical form of statue. That kind of like a defeat to me because I look at it, say, that's a statue. That's my block.
At that time, you need to improve your way of thinking. Not to the statue, even though there is no statue, if you can pay attention, if you can pay respect to the Buddha. When you see the Buddha image, at that time, reflecting the qualities of the Buddha, if you pay respect, it is very good. Okay, now the Venerable Wakli, just by seeing the Buddha's appearance, he ordained. Okay, he wanted to be near the Buddha. He didn't see the Buddha yet, but he see the Buddha image. He see the physical body. Physical body is so perfect that everybody is very happy seeing the Buddha. Okay? Now maybe sometime you see the Buddha image, the way they have sculpture is not very good.
That's
this is
problem.
The answer.
Okay? I judge on the appearance.
Yes.
This statue is not what, I rather it has no form and I...
Yes, as I told you, please reflect the qualities of the Buddha. and pay respect to the quality of the Buddha, everything will be fine. Okay? Okay.
Question about walking meditation.
Yes.
It's hard to hard to sit down and really, it's some difficulty. Can you teach us about how to do that? Walking, meditate while walking.
Yes, yes. So Buddha taught altogether 40 kinds of meditation object. One is mindfulness of breathing meditation. If you're going to practice anapana, mindfulness of breathing meditation, you should focus on the breath in every four postures, including walking meditation too, because you need to develop one pointed mind and one object. Only then you will develop concentration. That's why you should try to focus on the breath as much as you can. When you do walking, when you do standing, sitting, lying, in every four postures, this is what you need to train. Our mind doesn't want to do what is difficult, because focusing on the breath is not as easy as watching the television. That's why we don't want to do this. So we need to train willingly, only then we want to be with it. And when you can focus on the breath well longer time, you feel very peace and calm, what you can never experience with sensuality. At that time, you will be happy more to be with them. Okay? Yes. If there is no more questions, we will share Mary's gum. Okay, repeat after me. Idam me punyam, asavakayam, maham hotu. Idam me punyam, nibbanasa, patayo, hotu. Mama punya bagam,
mama punya bagam,
sabba satanam,
sabba satanam,
bajemi,
bajemi,
te sabbe,
te sabbe,
ne samam,
ne samam,
punya bagam,
punya bagam,
labantu,
labantu, sa.